All right, so buckle up, listeners, because today we're diving into something that's going to hit close to home for everyone.
Yeah, we're breaking down this really interesting report. It's called The Future of European Competitiveness.
And let me tell you, it's a beast of a report.
Yeah, it's dense.
But don't worry, we're going to distill it all down to the need-to-know stuff.
We're going to make it interesting.
So basically, this report is like a roadmap.
It's a playbook.
Yeah, exactly. It's a playbook for where Europe stands in the world right now and where it could go, you know? Like, how can we make sure Europe stays competitive in this crazy global game?
And it's not just about keeping up. It's about identifying where Europe can really excel, where it can be a leader.
Totally. So one of the first things that jumped out at me in this report was this whole thing about critical minerals.
Right.
And I'll be honest, I didn't really even know what a critical mineral was before reading this.
Yeah, most people probably don't.
But it turns out they're in, like, everything.
Everything. Your phone.
My phone.
Yeah, your laptop, the electric car you might be dreaming of buying, all of that relies on critical minerals.
And the problem is, Europe pretty much imports almost all of them, right?
Yeah, it's a huge vulnerability. We're talking, like, almost 100% reliance on imports for some of these minerals, like refined lithium, which is essential for batteries.
Okay, so we're relying on other countries for these really important materials. So where do these critical minerals mostly come from? Is this where China comes into play?
You got it.
Yeah.
China's got a big chunk of the global supply chain for a lot of these minerals.
Okay, so that's not ideal, but this report doesn't frame it as like a doomsday scenario, right?
No, not at all. It's more like a wake-up call.
Okay, so it's like, hey, Europe, time to step up your game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it lays out a path for Europe to not just become self-sufficient, but to actually become a leader in this whole critical minerals game.
Okay, so how do we do that? How do we go from, like, zero to hero in the lithium game? It's not like Europe's just going to magically sprout lithium mines overnight, right?
Well, it does take time, but it's not magic. The report talks about identifying key mining and processing projects that are already in the works in Europe and basically putting them on the fast track. They call them strategic projects.
So less red tape, more lithium. I like the sound of that. But it's not just about digging stuff out of the ground, right? This report talks a lot about the tech side of things, too, especially AI.
Yeah, AI is huge right now. And the report doesn't shy away from the fact that Europe's lagging behind a bit in this area.
Yeah, the numbers are a little scary.
Yeah. For example, did you know that like 73% of the big foundational AI models out there are from the U.S.?
No, I didn't.
And only like 6% are from the EU.
Wow. Okay. That's a pretty big gap.
Yeah, it is.
So what's the plan there? I mean, do we try to out-Google Google or is there a different path for Europe?
The report actually says that Europe shouldn't try to copy what everyone else is doing.
Okay. So what's the alternative?
Instead of trying to be the best at everything, it's about focusing on our strengths and finding our niche.
So, like, instead of trying to build the next big social media platform, we should be focusing on areas where Europe already has an edge.
Exactly. We're talking about things like the automotive industry, energy, healthcare. These are all areas where Europe has a ton of expertise and a history of innovation.
Okay, so we play to our strengths and we use AI to really become a leader in those areas.
Exactly. Think about it. European-made AI that's making our energy grid super efficient or powering the next generation of life-saving medical technology. That's the kind of future this report is talking about.
Okay, so it's strategic investment, playing to our strengths, but none of this happens overnight, right? What does the report say about the whole bureaucracy thing? Because let's be honest, Europe isn't exactly known for its speed when it comes to decision-making.
It's a good point, and something the report addresses head-on. It's pretty clear that Europe needs to streamline its regulatory processes.
Yeah.
Especially if we're talking about these strategic projects we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's like we're trying to run a marathon with our shoelaces tied together.
It can feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's holding us back. The report talks about the need for faster approvals, less paperwork, and just a more efficient system overall.
So basically, we need to clear the path for innovation, not create more roadblocks.
Exactly. And that's what we'll dive into after the break.
All right, so we've covered a lot of ground already today. Strategic investments, a skills revolution, even a little bureaucratic shakeup. We'll be back in a few minutes to dig even deeper into this fascinating report on the future of European competitiveness. All right, so we're back and ready to dig even deeper into this report on Europe's competitive future. Before the break, we were talking about all this red tape. Like, how can we expect businesses to innovate and compete globally if they're constantly bogged down in paperwork?
Exactly. And this report dives into that. especially when it comes to global competition. Mm. He talks about this thing called carbon leakage, which sounds kind of scary.
Yeah, carbon leakage. Is that like when my fridge isn't closing properly?
Well, not exactly. Imagine a company decides to move its factory from Europe to another country because that country has like zero environmental regulations.
Okay, so they're dodging our stricter rules.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's a problem because it undermines everything Europe is trying to do to fight climate change. Plus, it means Europe could lose those jobs and industries altogether.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how do we prevent that? Like, how do we make sure everyone's playing by the same rules on a global scale?
Well, the report suggests a few things. One idea that stood out to me is this thing called the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, or CBAM for short.
CBAM, catchy. Okay, so what is it?
Basically, it would be like a tax on imports from countries that aren't doing their part to reduce carbon emissions.
Ah, so if you want to sell your stuff in Europe, you either need to meet our environmental standards or it'll cost you.
Exactly. It levels the playing field. But it's not all about punishments. The report also talks about rewarding those who are making an effort. It suggests more investment in research and development to help industries transition to cleaner technology.
Why? So instead of just shutting down a steel plant, for example, we figure out ways to make it carbon neutral.
Exactly. Make it even better, a net zero contributor. Now, speaking of innovation in industry, the report spends a lot of time talking about skills and education, and basically the need for a more future-proof workforce.
Yeah, because it's not just about robots taking our jobs right. It's about making sure people have the skills to thrive in this new economy. And we're talking about digital skills, green skills, all that.
Absolutely. Chapter 2 was interesting to me. It basically argues that the education systems in a lot of European countries are, they're a bit stuck in the past.
Yeah, it's like we're teaching kids how to use a rotary phone when they really need to know how to code or something.
That's a good way to put it. We need to be teaching the skills that employers are actually looking for, skills that will be relevant 10, 20 years down the line. And it's not just about what we teach. It's also about how we teach it. Yeah. We need more hands-on learning, more apprenticeships, more opportunities for people to develop those real-world skills.
And lifelong learning, right, because the world's not going to stop changing just because we finished school.
Exactly. We need to be constantly adapting and learning new things. And one more thing I wanted to mention about skills, because I found this really interesting. The report points out that women are still hugely underrepresented in fields like science and tech.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like, are we really still having this conversation?
Apparently so. And the report emphasizes that this isn't just about equality. It's about, you know, basic economics. We're missing out on a ton of talent and innovation by not having more women in these fields.
Yeah, half the population is being left out of some of the most important and fastest growing industries. It just doesn't make any sense. Okay, so we've talked about skills and education, but what about the money? Who's going to pay for all of this?
That's a great question, and the report doesn't shy away from it. It actually calls out some of the EU's funding mechanisms as being a little, clunky.
Clunky.
Yeah, like a little bureaucratic, not very agile, especially compared to something like the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act.
So while America's out there throwing money at moonshot projects, we're stuck filling out paperwork.
It's not quite that simple, but the report does advocate for a more streamlined approach, less red tape, more vision, and a greater willingness to take risks. They even suggest creating a vice president for simplification within the European Commission.
Okay, that's a job I could get behind. Simplifying things? Sign me up. But seriously, this report makes it very clear that we need to get funding to the right places, to those innovative projects, and we need to do it quickly and efficiently.
Absolutely. Because time is of the essence. And speaking of things that are essential, this report doesn't just talk about the economy in a vacuum. It really emphasizes the importance of sustainability.
Right, because we can't just repeat the mistakes of the past. We need to make sure that economic growth is sustainable and that it benefits everyone.
Exactly. It's about creating an economy that works for people and for the planet. An economy that's built to last.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. From lithium mines to AI labs, skills gaps to global partnerships, it's a lot to unpack. But before we get to the specific industries, what are the key takeaways from this part of the report?
I think the overarching message is that Europe needs to be more strategic and more proactive. We can't just react to global trends. We need to set the agenda, identify those key areas where Europe can truly excel, and then create the conditions for those industries to thrive.
So it's not just about surviving, it's about thriving.
Exactly. But it's about thriving in a way that's sustainable and inclusive. Because ultimately, a more competitive Europe is a stronger Europe, a Europe that's better equipped to face the challenges of the 21st century.
I like the sound of that. All right, so we've laid the groundwork. Now let's get down to brass tacks. What does the report say about specific industries and how they fit into this vision of a more competitive and sustainable Europe?
Okay, so we've talked about the big picture stuff, but I'm really curious to hear what this report has to say about specific industries. I'm guessing the automotive sector gets a lot of attention.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge focus. I mean, this is an industry that's going through a massive transformation right now, right?
Yeah, electric cars, self-driving cars, the whole nine yards.
Exactly. And the report makes it clear that Europe needs to be a leader in this transition, not just a follower. So what needs to happen? How do we make sure that Europe is at the forefront of this new automotive era?
Well, it starts with investment, big investment. And not just in building electric cars themselves, but in the entire ecosystem that surrounds them.
The ecosystem.
Yeah. Talk about batteries, for one. The report stresses the need for Europe to have its own robust battery production capacity.
Ah, so we're not relying on other countries for such a crucial component, kind of like what we were talking about earlier with those critical minerals, right?
Exactly. We need to be in control of our own destiny when it comes to this stuff. But it's more than just batteries. We're talking about charging infrastructure so people can actually drive these electric cars.
Yeah, if you can't charge your car, it's not very useful, is it?
Exactly. And then there's the whole grid, right? We need to make sure our electricity grids can handle all these electric vehicles.
So it's a massive undertaking, but it's not just about the cars themselves, right? It's about the jobs, the people who are going to be building and designing these vehicles of the future.
Absolutely. The report talks a lot about the skills gap and how we need to make sure that people in Europe have the training and education to not just build cars, but to design them, to innovate.
So it's those high-skilled jobs, the engineers, the software developers, all that.
Exactly. We need to be the ones coming up with the next big thing in automotive technology, not just putting it together. And this is where education comes in, right?
Yeah.
We need to be preparing young people for these jobs of the future.
It's not just about teaching them how to change a tire anymore.
No, it's about teaching them how to code, how to design algorithms, how to think critically about complex systems.
It's a whole new world. But you know, one thing that struck me about this report is that it's not just about Europe going it alone. It actually talks a lot about the need for global collaboration.
Oh, absolutely. The report emphasizes that we can't solve these challenges in isolation. We need to be working with other countries, even potential competitors, to find solutions.
That seems a bit counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like sharing your secrets with the competition.
It might seem that way, but in reality, so many of these issues, whether it's climate change or supply chain disruptions, they require global solutions. No one country can do it alone.
So it's about finding that balance between competition and collaboration.
Exactly. We need to be pushing each other to be better, to innovate more, but we also need to be working together to address these global challenges. And that's a theme that runs throughout this entire report. It's about making sure that economic growth is sustainable and inclusive. It's about making sure that everyone benefits from this progress, not just a select few.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, from lithium mines to AI labs to this really interesting balance between competition and collaboration. If you had to sum up the report's message, what would it be?
I think the core message is that Europe has a choice to make. We can either react to the future as it unfolds around us, or we can actively shape it. And shaping the future requires bold action, it requires investment, it requires innovation, and it requires a willingness to embrace new ideas and new ways of doing things.
And that is something to think about. This report has given us a lot to digest today, the challenges, the opportunities, and most importantly, the power we have to shape the future. What stood out to you? What are you most excited about? What are you maybe a little bit apprehensive about? We want to hear from you. Keep those conversations going. And until next time, keep diving deep.